too. What a wonderful privilege it is to be with you guys this Easter Sunday. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. That's the response that I love always from Paul, man. It is truly remarkable where we are at in today's age where so much is happening. Welcome, guys. Wonderful to have you with us. Today's age, so much happening in the world is in turmoil, yet we have the eternal hope that is Jesus Christ, the risen King, the risen Lord, the risen Savior. You know, the significance of Him having been raised from the dead gives us hope that He has taken the keys of death and He's defeated it once and for all. His life, the sacrificial lamb that was slain once and for all, so that we would no longer be separated because of our sin from a God that loves us so much. How wonderful the love of our Savior for us. Can we just give the Lord a huge round of applause this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, the champion of our lives. Man, this is just wonderful to be able to stand here. I do not take this opportunity lightly. You know, so often we just get into the mundane things and we get into systematic processes and we let one thing flow from the next instead of just taking a moment to appreciate what God is doing in our lives and through our lives. I do appreciate you guys being here to celebrate Easter with us at the Woodlands Bible Church. For the last 3 weeks, I've had the privilege of speaking to you guys about the topic of love. In the first week, we spoke about a return to a love for God the Father. Where we got that was in the greatest command. The greatest command, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. We spoke about loving the Lord with every part of your heart, the heart that holds all of the treasures in our lives. Love the Lord with all of your mind, with every single thing that you think of. Love Him with every single breath that you've got. That is what we are called to love the Lord like. And that is pretty much the first and greatest commandment that He's given us in the Scriptures, right from Genesis all the way through Revelation. It's a golden thread to love the Lord your God. I want to encourage you to continue to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Make Him the primary focus of your life. Every single moment that you're awake, that you wake up in the morning, good morning, Lord. Be in relationship with a God that loves you. Then secondly, last week we spoke about the love that the Lord has given us, that we can freely give to one another. And we had the analogy of the Rolos that I brought in. And so many memes have started this week. Now we're the yellow stop sign church and some people are calling us the holy Rolos. But my point being that it is such a simple analogy. The Lord gives us His love and then we have the responsibility to give it away to those around us. And that's led me to believe that as humans, and I'm sure you will agree with me, that everybody has a deep inert need to be loved and to be understood. How many times have you spoken to someone and this person says, man, I just wish you can understand what I'm going through. I just wish you can understand me. How many relationships have failed because of the inability to be understood? So maybe the love was there. Maybe there was a part of the relationship that was in place. Can you guys associate with that? I want to be understood. I want people to see me for who I am. And we'll spend time in relationship, loving each other and walking and doing life together in discipleship. But I want to be understood. I also want to be loved. So I do believe that is something which makes us absolutely unique as humans. We long for someone to deeply understand us and deeply love us. So, what do you do that make you feel loved? Or what is it that makes you feel loved? There's a book by, I think it's Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages or something. And he speaks about words of affirmation. He speaks about touch. He speaks about quality time. He speaks about gifts. All these things that make us feel loved. But what is it this morning that makes you feel loved more than anything? What do you love more in this life? How about life itself? Do you love life itself? We should. I do believe it's been inbred in us to love life and to be adventurous and to go and conquer and to subdue the earth. After all, that's what God called us in Genesis to do, not true? He says, go forth, be fruitful, multiply, and then subdue the earth. All right. So we are supposed to do that. We're supposed to have a vigor for life. So often we tend to forget that vigor for life. Speaking of which, a very, very happy 91st birthday to Miss Patty this week. It's really remarkable. She loves As the Deer Pants for the Water. You know, that's one of my favorite songs as well. But here is something that I've known about Miss Patty. She's got a love for people and she's got a love for God. That is a life well lived. As do I know most of you guys, I know that that is your heart. You live for God and you live to let God's love shine through you. That is so remarkable. But anyway, so what makes you feel loved? I want you to consider this morning the absolute, selfless, unconditional, sacrificial love, the agape love that God has got for us this morning. As we turn our Bibles to 1 John 4, verse 9 to 19, we started in 1 John 4 earlier in the series, and we're going to read through to verse 19. From verse 9, I'm reading. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not being made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that is eternal. Thank you for your word that is medicine to broken hearts. Thank you for your word that is a love letter for us, your church. Lord, this morning as we look at your word for us, I pray that you'll invigorate lives and restore hearts back into relationship with you. And Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll help me to be diligent, Lord, to do justice to your word this morning, Father. Lord, nothing but that which you want to say to this church this morning. Amen. How much does God love me? You know, when I've pondered this for such a long time, I realize that there is two ways in which God really loves us. There's a universal love that God has exclaimed for all humankind. So if we read the scripture, we read in verse 9 that says that this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In the Old Testament, we understand that sin has brought a separation between us and God. What is sin? Sin is something that puts a wedge between a perfect relationship and that actually got Adam and Eve expelled from the Garden of Eden. So since there was that separation, basically what happened is God's chosen people, the Israelites, they had to make atonement for their sins once a year, and there was a sacrifice that needed to be paid for the atonement of this sin. It was a spotless lamb, one without blemish, one that was pure in every sense of the word. But when Jesus Christ came, he became a fulfillment of the prophecies that we spoke of last week. And there were more than 400 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And that shows us that he became that sacrifice for us. He became the one that was punished once and for all for the sin of humankind. And if we look, I so badly want to go, and I know this is Resurrection Sunday, but I want to just quickly reflect on what Jesus went through. Now, if we look at, a lot of people say he received 39 lashes, and that comes from the Old Testament, because under the Old Testament law, you were not allowed to give more than 40 lashes. So for them not to err, on the side of caution, they made it 39. Paul also speaks, he says, 5 times I've been scourged with 40 minus 1, which means for the gospel, he has received the punishment from the Jewish people. But remember this, that Jesus was flogged not by Jewish people under the Jewish law. Jesus was scourged and flogged by Roman authorities. He was scourged and flogged with something which is called the cat of nine tails, where pieces of bone and rock and whatever they could weave into this whip. That's what he was whipped with. And basically, as the lashes landed, it was only supposed to do one thing, and that was to inflict the maximum amount of pain and to split open skin. That was the only purpose of this. This was not to just discolor the skin. This was made to literally rip it apart. And the purpose initially, Pontius Pilate, he didn't want to have Jesus crucified, so he thought that if he had Jesus severely scourged, that the people would have pity on Jesus because of the punishment already given to Jesus. But the people were so blinded by that, and they were so blinded with their hatred that they didn't even see that. I do believe that the punishment was so great on Jesus at that stage, the scourging was so bad that they had to put a cloak over him just to at least cover somewhat the inhumanity that was placed upon Jesus. Nevertheless, Jesus went like a lamb to the slaughter for us. What would you consider a good friend or a true friend to be? I guess if I look in my life, a good friend or a friend that I can call is someone that would every now and again buy me lunch and I would buy him lunch. That would make me a good friend. Do you agree? Someone that needs help when they move? Oh man, that's a good friend. It's like, listen buddy, I'm moving house. Can you? I'm moving from this point. Would you consider that a good friend? So often they say, a good friend is someone that bails you out in jail, you know, out of jail. But the true friend is the one sitting next to you in jail saying, man, that was awesome. Let's do that again. I'm not sure. But consider the following scripture. In John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Consider that Jesus lay down his life for us. That is the deepest, profoundest love that you can ever comprehend this morning. There's a universal call of salvation. Remember, we're answering, how much does God love me? I think he loves us so much that he gave himself, Jesus Christ, to die for us. That's how much God loves me. That's how much God loves you. Beautiful scripture that we all know, and that we have, if you were in the Baptist church at age five, you already said this off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we understand that God's purpose is for people to understand his love, his kindness. The Bible speaks about it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. So there is that universal call to salvation, and God's love is for everybody on this earth, but not everybody will take hold of God's love. Do you agree with me? So often, have you shared the gospel with someone and you were rebuffed by that? I know I've been cursed. Like, I know in school, my son Joshua, he's done exactly the same, and people have cursed him for saying, man, just lay off the Christian topic. So not everybody will accept the love of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that his love for us is any less unconditional, sacrificial. However, once we are saved, God gives us a different promise. And then that begs me to the next question. How secure am I in the love that God has got for me as a Christian? How secure am I in the love that God has got for me? Let's go to 1 John 4, verse 15 to 16. Same passage of scripture, just a little bit later on. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So here there is a call to live in God and let his love live in us and through us. That should testify that we are in relationship with God. But let me say this. God's love for us, even though we've now become saved, God's love for us is still unconditional. It still is immutable. It doesn't change. It still is eternal. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for it is by grace, I'm reading from the Amplified, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually been delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not from yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, the gracious gift of God. You see, you can do nothing in your personal capacity to earn more of God's love. There is nothing that you can do to earn more of God's love. God loves. God bestows love. God loves. Even when we sin, God loves. Even when we are not faithful, God loves. He calls us to a lifestyle of holiness, sanctification. But in that process, God loves. His love is immutable. And then, when we are walking in this, We're walking in this adventure of knowing that God loves us. And how do we respond? We respond, oh my word. Once we do get a revelation, a true sense of what God's love is, we respond in love alike. And then therefore, 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. You see, the love comes from God first. It's kind of like the Rolos, right? It's the Rolos. Uh-oh. So here's what I want to do this morning. To demonstrate that. Who wants some Rolos? I can't open this. Can you help me? Thank you. And then you can give it back to me. So I'm going to ask a couple of you guys to do the following. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm going to choose one person or two people here, and I want you to mistreat me. Not beat me, hopefully. But I want you to tell me how much you don't like me right now. Liz. No. All right. Act. Tell me how much you don't like me.
You're despicable. And, I don't want you anywhere near me.
Okay. Have a Rolo. Love you, my brother. Okay. Tell me something that I don't like about myself. Go. Have a Rolo. But can you see the concept of God's love is as simplistic as this? Who wants more of God's love in their life? It is as simplistic as saying, I want a Rolo. And then the responsibility is yours to give it out. And there's such a dying world. I'm gonna give it here and then just pass the bag of Rolos along. I expect you guys all to have a Rolo at the end of the service. And hopefully that is just proof that we can share God's love. We have the responsibility of sharing God's love with people. Just like the bag of Rolos is going and permeating the building. You see, regardless of what we tell God, even before we came to salvation, we were walking in hatred. Yet still God loved us. Even because of the despicable things that we say, God, he still loves us. 1 John 3 verses 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. He brings us into relationship, not just as friends, but he brings us in as his children. Oh man, the unconditional love of God the Father, regardless of what we do to him on a day-to-day basis, his love doesn't change. It is unconditional. Church, this morning, if you hear anything from me, hear this. The love of God for us is unchanging. It is the truest, purest, most beautiful thing that you will ever comprehend. That is the love of God. We are secure in that love that God has got for us. Ephesians 2 verses 4 to 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, he is rich in mercy. Why? Because he knows that we're going to make faults. We're going to make mistakes. Therefore, his mercies are new every morning. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us first, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by the grace that we have been saved. Romans 5, verse 7 to 8. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still cursing him, while we were still telling him we don't need God in our lives, even at that point, God loved us. His love was so profound. Listen to what Romans 8 verses 39 says. Now once we are in relationship with God, he says this about it. This should secure God's love for you once and for all. It says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because he paid the penalty. The more than conquerors is kind of like this. I am fighting a battle in a boxing ring. All right? I beat my opponent hard because I'm strong, right? No, but I am the conqueror. Now, take this. I get the result of me winning that battle or that fight. And I get the prize money. Let's call it $1 million, all right? And I take that prize money home to my family. My family becomes the more than the conqueror. They get the result. They get the reward of me winning the battle. That is what Jesus did for us. He conquered sin and death, but we are more than conquerors. We are the ones benefiting from the fact that he laid down his life. We get eternal life. Could you do that on your own? No. Yet, Jesus loved us enough to become the spotless lamb that was slain for us. And then when he rose from the dead, he became the victor rising. And in doing so, we take our trust and our hope and our faith and we place that in the fact that Jesus came for our salvation. And the moment we do that, we became more than conquerors and we become co-heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Can you see how important today is? You see, because we can get captured just with the sadness and the absolute tragedy of the crucifixion, which is so important because we understand what Jesus went through as a human. Fully God, fully human. Remember that? But then we live in the actual realization of the fact that Jesus conquered death. And we are more than conquerors through that. For I am persuaded, he goes on to say, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, wow. If that doesn't secure you once and for all, I don't know what would. The love of God is eternal. The love of God is unconditional. It is unchanging. We have a responsibility, though, to remain in his love. So, number three, question one was, what is the love of God? Number two is, how can I be secure? Number three, how do we remain in the love that God has got for us? John 15, verse 9 to 12, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. Why would we have joy? Because we've been bought with a price and we are eternally free from judgment. And by accepting the love that Jesus have for us, laying down his life and the blood, his blood that flowed and his body that was given, trusting him enough, that fills us with joy eternally, right? And that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So, how do we remain in God's love every day? How do we remain? Is it for his benefit or is it for our benefit? We remain in God's love for our benefit. Think about it. We've got more to benefit from this than what he has from us, even though I believe we are called to relationship with God. But think it, we need him. Really? We do need him. All right. So when you obey God's commandments, every time when you follow Jesus' example, you remain in His love. Why? Because you say, I'm in relationship with God. How do I remain in love, in love with my wife? I build relationship. How do we remain in relationship and love with one another? We spend time. We edify one another. We get together and sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19. But my point being, how do we remain in love is we follow Jesus' example. Here is the King of the universe, the hero of my story, and He chooses to lay down His life. Man, I'm not sure if I would be able to do that. As I stand here, I'm not sure if I'd be able to actually go through with that kind of punishment. I'm not sure if anyone of us. But you know, that's why Jesus went through it. That's why He, as God, went through it. Because He knew that the price was too big to be paid by anybody else. However, His example that He set for us in holiness, and even if we are angry not to sin, His example that He sets for us is still alive in us today. So we follow the example of Jesus. We remain in God's love when we receive His love. How do we receive His love? We spend time with Him. We read His word. Think back about what we spoke about last week, receiving God's love. Time with Him, time speaking to Him, time speaking to Him about everything in your life. He is an integral part. He is omniscient and omnipresent. He knows all and He sees all. It's His attribute as God. But as we realize that He is there, we get a sense of doing relationship and life with Him. We love other people. We love other people. That's how we remain. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples because of the love that you've got for one another. He speaks in John 15, speaks, remain in me and let my words remain in you. It is integral for us to remain in relationship with Jesus Christ. It is also a life of servanthood. When we love God and we remain in His love, we give so much of ourselves to other people. Follow the example of Jesus. Jesus was the King of the universe, yet He washed His disciples' feet. It is also a continual process of growing fruit in our life. Galatians 5, verse 22 speaks about this. It speaks about, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, humility, long-suffering, self-control. Now, when we look at that, if we remain in Christ, and we have Him, we've been grafted into the vine, all right, as the sapling, what's it, the scion, is it the scion, that gets grafted into the vine, and we allow the vine to flow and nourish us and the lifeblood of the vine to go through us, what is the extent? We grow, and there's evidence of growth. New leaves start sprouting, but eventually, if we remain in Him, what will happen? Is we will start to produce fruit. And those fruit are almost an automatic reaction of being able to remain in Christ. Remaining in His love means you're tapped into the source of what you need to give away. So, consider the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Who is it for? Oh, for myself. Is it? Is the fruit for myself? Who is the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the humility, the long-suffering? Who is that for? Thank you. It's for everyone else. It's so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. How will they know if we don't give them the fruit that they so desperately crave for? Makes sense, right? So therefore, remain in Christ. Remain grafted into the vine so that He can, by the power of His word, with the help of the Holy Spirit, allow you to blossom so that you can portray multiples of fruit in your life. The world needs it so much. And if I'm speaking of the world, I'm speaking about people that are not in relationship with Jesus Christ. They need it. They need more patience. They need more love. They need more kindness. And if we're not the hands and the feet of Jesus, how will they get that? No, we've got the us for and no more mentality. Us for walls. But we love inward, most probably, because we build a relationship. But how much opportunity is there to love outward? So we remain in God's love, and the effect of that is to produce fruit. There's also a continual desire. James 4, verse 8. He gives us instruction. He says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It almost seems to me like the Lord is a gentleman in this regard. He wants, what does the Bible say in Proverbs? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is what? Understanding. How will we get to understand the full context of God's love for us if we don't draw near to Him? How do we draw near to God? Practically, how do we do that? We read His Word more. What do? We pray. That's how we draw near to God. You see, you make Him the center of your focus, the center of your attention. You make Him the cornerstone of every facet in your life. And guess what happens? He draws near to you. And He starts revealing more things in His Word to you. And as you see more of a revelation of God's love for you in the Word, you draw near to Him. And as you do that, you get more of a sense of who He is, and He starts revealing more. Can you see? It is like a perpetual motion of just beautiful, just chain reaction. The more you love God, the more you understand His love, the more you want to love Him. And then the more you love God, can you see what I'm saying? So, remaining in God's love is a constant desire to draw near to God. Making it a constant focus. Making it a lifestyle of self-discipline. Our key anchor scripture for this past couple of weeks have been Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 6. Any of the gentlemen in the church would like to stand and say that scripture? I'm quick on you guys. Any of the gentlemen that's been coming to... All right, ladies, you want to go?
Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord. All your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Brother Paul. You see, it speaks about a discipline. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love for God, faithfulness to God. Love for people, faithfulness to people. Then what will happen is you will win good name and favor in the sight of God, in the sight of man. However, pause, when that doesn't happen always, because we love people and we know that people fail us. We place our trust in people and they fail us. But when that doesn't happen, what do? We trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding. We don't try and figure it out. What's our responsibility? What is our ability to respond? Love God, love people. Be faithful to God, be faithful to the call to love them. Make it a priority in your life to start with God early in the morning. And then during the day, focus on what God has got for you through His Word. Let it permeate. Take a little bit, bite-sized chunk of God's Word. I encourage you to memorize the Scripture. We've been memorizing as men. We've been memorizing this four verses, and we are going to be starting on the new one soon. But my point being, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind it around your necks. Why? Because your neck holds your head with which you take in the world. Your eyes, your ears, your taste, your sense. Let it guide the way that you take in the world. Love and faithfulness. Write it onto the tablets of your heart. Why? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So write it on the tablet of your heart. Love and faithfulness. Seal it in your heart. So, in closing, we understand that God loves us. His love is unconditional. His love is agape love. It is unchanging. It is sacrificial. It is selfless. Then, once we understand that love, we can be saturated with that, just like the Rolos. We can take freely from God, from the love that He's got for us. We cannot give away that which we don't have in our own capacity. Trust me, in your own capacity, you can't even dream about having enough love and kindness and compassion for people without the love of God. Don't even try. You'll run on empty, you'll run on fumes before you know it. Tap into God. Tap into the perfect love that He has got for us. And then, give that love away. Be secure that there's nothing on this earth, nothing that you can imagine, nor height, nor depth, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. If that doesn't ground you, I don't know what would. So remember this. When you're going through things in your life that is totally in contrary to the way that you planned it, God loves you. When people are hurting you and say terrible things about you, remember this. God loves you. When things are going well and you're at the pinnacle of your career and you're tasting success, remember, God loves you. When there is times of mourning and someone's been taken from your life, remember, God loves you. This morning, if you're telling me, David, I cannot accept that. I've done too much. I've done too much in this world that is contrary to what God. I've said so many things to God in anger, just like the Rolos with me and Les. I want to remind you, God loves you. You are not beyond salvation because God loves you. And He loves you enough not to leave you how He's found you here this morning. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we know that when You rose from death, You took the keys of death. And Lord, You rose with a victorious action that is catapulted into eternal life, eternal relationship. We thank You for what You've done for us. As a church this morning, we remember Your sacrifice. Lord, when we take the cracker as a symbol of Your body that was given for us, and we look at the fruit of the vine as a symbol of Your blood that flowed for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord, we take these in remembrance of You. Lord, this morning I pray that as I read from Your word, I pray, Lord Jesus, that every heart that is still crying out to sense or to receive or to accept more of Your love, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, I pray right now that You would do the work. Lord, we know it's Your kindness that leads us to repentance, Lord. And Lord, we know that this morning we've heard about Your love for us and Your kindness for us. Lord, do the work so much more profoundly than what I could or anybody else could. And restore hearts back into relationship with You. Lord, we need You. And we love You. This morning, if you feel that you are out of a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you don't fully understand the love that I've been speaking of, the unconditional, sacrificial, selfless, unchanging love for you, if you say to me, David, that is me, I don't know that, I want to give you opportunity right now where you're sitting, just in the quietness of this room this morning, to do business with God the Father. And it is so simple, just by saying, Lord Jesus, I accept your love for me, accept what you did for me on the cross. Please forgive me. Make me part of this family so that I can be secure in this love that David has been speaking of. Do business with God right now. If you feel like you have been distant from God, the Bible says, James 4, verse 7, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Take time this morning to draw near to God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for making other things higher priority than you in our lives. Lord, forgive us for not adhering to your first command, Lord, to loving you with all our heart, Lord. Forgive us for being lukewarm. Stir in us a passionate, vibrant love for you once again. Do not take your Holy Spirit from us, but restore unto us the joy of our salvation and renew a steadfast, upright spirit in each of us this morning. All this we pray in the wonderful, majestic, wondrous name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.